He needed to back off, not push harder. It went against every one of his instincts as both a man and a cop to back down, but that same intuition told him to tread slowly and carefully, or she'd run from him, too. The best he could do was to keep her safe and protected, without any demands, and hopefully she'd come around and trust him with the real truth. The sound of soft footsteps padding down the hall pulled him from his thoughts. He glanced toward his open bedroom door, just as Sarah's slender figure appeared in the frame. Concerned, he moved off the bed and went to her.
"Hey,"
he said softly, taking her hand in his.
"Is everything okay?"
Moonlight streamed through the uncovered window, lighting the delicate angles of her face, and the anguish in her eyes sliced right through him, sharp as a knife.
"Yes. No."
Her voice was small, her expression uncertain as she shifted anxiously on her bare feet before saying more.
"I don't want to be by myself tonight. Can I sleep in here with you?"
Refusing her didn't even cross his mind. In fact, he'd sleep better knowing she was right beside him, where he could keep an eye on her and see for himself at any given moment that she was resting peacefully.
"Of course you can stay with me,"
he said, and with her hand still clasped in his, he led her to the other side of the bed. He pulled back the covers, watching as she crawled onto the mattress, wearing a threadbare tank top and equally old and worn sleep shorts. Clearly, her pajamas had seen better days, and the thin material did little to conceal her small, firm breasts and the too slender curve of her hips and ass. Having her in his bed tonight wasn't about sex, but that didn't stop his dick from sitting up and taking notice of her tight nipples and those smooth legs he'd love to feel wrapped around his waist as he plowed deep inside of her. He swallowed back a groan before it could slip from his throat and beat back the provocative thoughts that would only lead to a hard-on and a restless night's sleep. Once she was settled beneath the comforter, he walked around to his side of the bed and rolled to his side. Their heads were on separate pillows, but they were facing one another, less than a foot of space between them.
"I really am sorry, Levi,"
she said quietly, though he could still hear the wealth of regret in her voice.
"I keep causing you a lot of trouble."
"How so?"
She tucked her hands beneath her cheek, her brows pinched in a frown.
"The robbery at the store, and you getting shot, for one thing," she reminded him.
"Aw, that was nothing more than a little bruise,"
he said, grinning playfully in an attempt to lighten the conversation. She didn't smile as he'd hoped.
"And you having to bring me back to your place so I have somewhere to stay for the night?"
"Not just for the night, Sarah,"
he said, as he reached out and caressed his thumb tenderly along her jaw.
"For as long as you need."
"It won't be long,"
she insisted in a raspy voice that was steeped in emotion.
"I swear it won't be."
"I don't care if it is,"
he said, realizing how true that was, how quickly he'd come to care about her, and how much he wanted her, more than just physically.
"There's no time limit to my offer."
"Thank you,"
she whispered, as if he'd just given her a precious gift. He watched tears of gratitude shimmer in her eyes, and she swallowed hard. He suspected she wasn't used to someone giving anything without demanding something in return, or just kindness in general. As a kid of a known drug addict and crack whore, he hadn't had a whole lot of kindness in his young life either, but as an adult, at least he was surrounded by good, decent people he could count on if he needed anything at all. Sarah didn't seem to have that luxury. He wanted to be that person for her, the one who protected her and chased away her demons, real or imagined. He wanted to be the man she could turn to. And right now, he understood what he could offer, comfort and a sense of security in the midst of her unstable life. He gently grabbed her arm and pulled her toward him.
"Come here, and let me hold you."
With a soft, inarticulate sound, she moved quickly and scrambled across the short distance between them. Clinging to him like a lifeline, she buried her face against his naked chest. He wrapped an arm around her shoulders and pulled her close, the warmth of his body absorbing the chill from hers.
"God, I'm such a mess,"
she said,
and he felt her wet tears on his skin. My life is such a mess. He ran his free hand through her hair and placed a tender kiss on her forehead.
You're not a mess, Sarah.
She laughed harshly against his neck, as if he had no idea what her life was like, and it irked him that he didn't, not really.
All that money gone, and now I have to start saving all over again.
She sounded so defeated, but her comment gave him an opening to gently prod for deeper answers, and he went with it.
Saving for what, sweetheart?
To leave.
Her arms tightened around his waist, as if to contradict the words she'd just spoken by holding on to him.
I need to leave.
Why do you need to leave?
He asked calmly, when he really wanted to demand, what are you running from? She shook her head.
Because I do.
Levi didn't get any of the answers he sought, but eventually she relaxed against him, falling asleep in his arms. He stayed up much longer, hoping like hell that he'd be able to figure out a way to change her mind about leaving Chicago, about leaving him. Sarah gradually woke up early the following morning, momentarily confused as to why she was cuddled up to a warm male body in a bed that was soft and comfortable, unlike the stiff, hard, and foul-smelling mattress she'd been sleeping on for the past month and a half. She gradually opened her eyes, and it took her a few moments to wrap her mind around her surroundings, and when she did, the horrible memories of last night came flooding back in an overwhelming wave of despair. Yet here she was, safe and protected in Levi's home, snuggled against him with her head resting on his chest. Her ear was pressed against his heart, and the sound of each steady beat calmed and lulled her. It was the first time in forever that she truly felt secure and relaxed, instead of waking up and being cautious and guarded about everything from the moment her eyes popped open. But as grateful as she was for Levi's comfort last night, and his offer to stay with him for as long as she needed, she didn't want to be a burden or a responsibility to him. Clearly, he was a man who was used to living alone and on his own. She just needed a few days, a week at the most, to get some money together again and figure out a plan. Then she'd be on her way. Every day that she stayed in Chicago was another day for Dylan to find her. Her stomach clenched at the knowledge, because she knew with certainty that he'd take her right back to Sacrosanct regardless of her protests, even if it meant he did so against her will. And once she was locked behind those steel gates again, there was no doubt in her mind that there wouldn't be another chance to escape the cult-like community, not when she was already facing punishment for being a deserter. But right now, in this quiet, peaceful moment, she didn't want to think about anything except Levi and how much she wanted him. Especially after the way he'd seduced her in the kitchen with his arousing kisses and a toe-curling orgasm, she mused, with a smile that chased away those darker thoughts of Dylan. She wanted to return the favor and make Levi feel good, too. And if it led to more, she wouldn't complain. He'd already warned her about his erotic preferences, and there wasn't anything about Levi that scared her, certainly not his need to be in control or his penchant for hot, dirty, rough sex. She had a leg draped over one of his thighs and an arm secured around his waist. Closing her eyes, she placed her hand on his bare chest and slowly skimmed her palm down his torso, careful to stay away from the bruise on his lower left-hand side. His breathing pattern immediately changed, growing deeper, heavier, as if he was waking up and realizing that he was being seduced this time around. She used her fingers to trace the indentations along his muscular abs and glided them even lower until she reached the waistband of the cotton gym shorts he'd worn to bed. Beneath her ear, his heart rate increased, and her own pulse thrummed through her veins as she slid her fingers beneath that elastic band. Her fingertips immediately brushed across the thick, taut head of a substantial erection, but before she could stroke his length, Levi released a feral growl and grasped her wrist. He pulled her hand from his shorts, and in the next moment, he had her flat on her back with his body half on top of hers so she was pinned beneath him. He anchored her one arm above her head as he stared down at her, his green eyes bright, hot, and very, very lucid.
You're heading into dangerous territory,
he warned huskily. I know, she whispered. She wanted to forget everything else in her life at the moment so she could give herself over to passion and just feel. His jaw clenched, and she knew he was contemplating the situation, possibly overthinking it, and she didn't want to give him the chance to refuse her again.
I want you, Levi.
She licked her bottom lip anxiously.
Please.
He swore beneath his breath, but to her relief, he didn't reject her as she feared. Instead, he abruptly moved and straddled her thighs, trapping her beneath his weight. She looked up at him, so devastatingly gorgeous and sexy, with a body made for sin. He exuded pure male confidence and had the physical power to back it up. He made her weak with wanting and damp with desire. He braced his hands on either side of her head, his gaze direct and intense as it met hers.
If we're doing this, we're doing it my way. Do you understand?
His way was all about being in charge and her surrendering to his control. He'd made that irrefutably clear last night, so there was no misunderstanding his intent now. Anticipation made her breathless, and excitement caused her nipples to tighten into aching points beneath the scratchy material of her tank top. The lust that flared in his gaze told her that he'd noticed both.
Yes, I understand,
she said, nodding eagerly. A slow, sinful smile curved his mouth as he pushed up the hem of her tank top, then pulled it up and over her head and off. He sat up, tossing the piece of clothing to the floor, while his gaze seemingly devoured her small but firm breasts. While he was momentarily distracted, it gave her a quick opportunity to glance down his body, to the long, thick column of flesh pushing insistently against his cotton shorts. The thought of so much cock stretching her and filling her beyond anything she'd experienced so far made her shiver, and when she finally dragged her gaze back up to his, there was no mistaking the knowing and slightly arrogant smirk on his lips.
Put both of your hands above your head and keep them there,
he ordered, and waited for her to comply. She lifted her arms and placed them on the pillow above her head, palms up and open. The prone position stretched her upper body, making her feel surprisingly sensual and brazen in a way she'd never been before. Still sitting astride her hips, he splayed his hands on her flat stomach and slowly glided them up her torso, causing a soft sigh of pleasure to escape her lips. When he reached her breasts, he squeezed them together and swept his thumbs over her tight, sensitive nipples before lightly pinching and rolling them between his fingers. She gasped and arched her back, shocked by how the slight jolt of pain had the ability to deliver a flood of heat and moisture between her legs. Shocked, too, by how much it turned her on when he plucked at the hard, nerve-laced peaks once again. With her breasts still filling his hands, he pushed them up as he lowered his head and flicked his tongue across a stiff nipple before pulling it hard and deep into his mouth. She made a soft mewling sound as he sucked on her, as his tongue swirled and his teeth scraped across the now tender flesh until she was aroused beyond belief. She pressed her hips upward, undulating against the muscled thighs still straddling her lower body, desperate to ease the building, throbbing need expanding inside her. In his own sweet time, his mouth gradually moved down her quivering stomach, leaving a hot, damp trail of kisses in his wake. When he reached the waistband of her sleep shorts and panties, he quickly stripped them all the way off, then knelt between her legs. His hands smoothed their way up the insides of her thighs, pushing them wide open and baring all of her to his heated, lust-filled gaze.
Do you remember what I told you last night?
He murmured, watching as he pushed his thumbs through the plump folds of her weeping sex, from her clit all the way down to her core, then back up again. She was slick from arousal, swollen, aching, and with each swipe of his fingers along her slit, she was quickly losing the ability to concentrate on anything other than the way he touched her.
Which part?
She panted, unable to recall anything specific when he had her so restless and needy. He bent his head and gently bit the inside of her thigh, making her gasp and arch her back again.
The part where I said that I want to lick this sweet pussy and eat you and taste you on my tongue as you come.
His words alone made her shudder. She could only imagine how her body would respond when he followed through on his promise.
Oh, God, yes, I remember.
That's exactly what's going to happen, sweetheart,
he said as he settled himself more comfortably between her spread limbs. He arranged one leg, then the other, over his broad shoulders, then blew a hot stream of air across her wet folds. She bit her bottom lip and moaned, her entire body trembling in anticipation. He slid his big, warm hands up to her hips, gripping them tightly with his fingers, securing her with his hold.
If just my breath on your pussy makes you quiver, can you imagine what my tongue will do?
She didn't want to imagine. She wanted to feel it.
Show me,
she whispered wantonly. He immediately placed his hot, open mouth on her sex, devouring her until she squirmed and moaned, and belatedly realized that she wasn't prepared for the impact of this man's oral skills, or her wild, shameless response to something so decadent. It took every ounce of restraint for her to keep her hands above her head and not reach down to grip his hair with her fingers. As much as she wanted to lower her arms, she didn't want to risk disappointing him. No, she wanted to prove that she could give him that control he needed. With single-minded purpose, he licked through her folds, sucked on her clit, and feasted relentlessly on her swollen flesh, intensifying the liquid heat simmering deep in her core. As his mouth moved on her flesh and his tongue did the most wicked things to her pussy, the morning stubble on his jaw scraped and burned the tender skin on the insides of the thighs framing his face, adding to her sensory overload. Then his fingers joined in, two of them pushing impossibly deep inside her slick body, then picking up an in-and-out rhythm that matched each breath-stealing stroke of his tongue across that sweet, sensitive spot between her legs. He battered her with sensations, overwhelmed her with the promise of ecstasy. She gasped, and without the use of her hands, she arched her back, trying to press herself closer to that magical mouth, her hips undulating, grinding, as he made her nearly delirious with the need to come. Another hard, deep thrust of his fingers, coupled with the suctioning swirl of his tongue on her clit, had her combusting with the force of her orgasm. She cried out his name, thrashing beneath his hold on her hips as the most sublime bliss she'd ever experienced consumed every part of her. Before she had a chance to come down from that orgasmic high, and even as tiny climactic aftershocks rippled through her body, Levi quickly moved to a kneeling position between her legs, keeping them spread. Through hooded eyes, she watched as he shoved his cotton shorts down his thighs, releasing his thick, huge erection. For a brief second, she thought he was going to push inside of her, but instead he dragged his fingers through her soaked pussy, coating them with her slick juices. Then he wrapped his lubricated palm tight around his straining dick and stroked the length through his fist. He pressed his thumb against her still-throbbing clit, rubbing and stimulating that bundle of nerves back to life. She gasped, stunned by the renewed need pulsing low in her belly and the tingling sensation gathering and converging where he was massaging her, where his gaze was focused on her exposed sex while he pleasured himself at the same time. She'd never been a part of something so hot and captivating, had never watched a man as he jacked himself off. But she watched Levi now, utterly fascinated by the bold, sexual act. His jaw was clenched, his expression dark and savage as his own desires drove him toward release. His chest heaved, and the muscles along his stomach flexed and bunched as he pumped his engorged shaft through his clenched fist. Each time his cock passed through his grip, the plump head swelled and pre-cum leaked from the tip. Her breathing grew choppy, and he increased the pressure and friction against her clit, pushing her closer to the edge of another soul-bearing climax as well.
Come again,
he demanded gruffly as he stroked his shaft through his fist, harder, faster.
Shockingly, her body responded to his command, and she moaned and shuddered as another orgasm surged through her. Even as she was swept up in her own glorious climax, she refused to close her eyes, needing to see Levi succumb to his release. She met his gaze. The wild intensity glowing in the depths of his eyes was possessive and dominating as he flattened his free hand near her hip and leaned more fully over her, bracing himself for his own orgasm. Another firm pull on his cock and his entire body tensed. She caught the look of pleasure bordering on pain that flashed across his face before he threw his head back, shuddered, and growled hoarsely as he came so hard the initial burst of milky fluid shot all the way up to her breasts and eventually spilled onto her stomach, too.
"Jesus, fuck,"
he said on a ragged exhale as he sat back on his heels and tried to catch his breath. When he finally recovered, he took in the mess he'd made all over her. A slow, unmistakable smirk curving the corners of his mouth. His gaze was equally arrogant.
"I'm not gonna lie," he drawled as he slid the tips of his fingers through the sticky substance on her belly, smearing it across her skin. "Seeing my cum all over your naked body is hot as fuck."
Those same fingers glided through the slippery trail of male essence all the way up to her breasts, where he coated a tight nipple with more of his scent, as if putting his mark on her. Unable to speak, she merely sighed with pleasure.
"Who knew you were such a dirty girl?"
He sounded pleased at the realization. Before Levi, Sarah never would have guessed that she had a naughty streak in her, but he'd proved her wrong. She'd had sex before, but she'd never been this intimate with a man, or so uninhibited.
"It's all your fault," she teased softly.
He grinned unrepentantly.
"I'll gladly take the blame for corrupting you."
He moved off the bed, and without an ounce of modesty, he stripped his shorts the rest of the way off so that he was as naked as she was. He held his hand out to her, and she let him help her to stand, too.
"Come on, dirty girl,"
he said as he led the way to the adjoining bathroom.
"Let's go take a shower and clean you up."
It was an offer she wasn't about to refuse. Chapter 8 Levi retrieved a carton of eggs from the refrigerator, along with some mushrooms, ham, and cheese, to make them each an omelet for breakfast. Sarah was still in the shower. Once again, his fault, because as soon as he'd soaped up his hands and begun washing her body, they'd both gotten distracted. Touching Sarah and feeling her soft, wet, naked skin beneath his palms had his dick wanting her all over again, even after his first orgasm should have left him sated. Except he didn't have any condoms in the house, which he planned to rectify today, but that admission hadn't stopped her from going down on her knees in front of him and doing the next best thing. With her looking up at him with eager blue eyes filled with the desire to please him and warm water from the shower cascading over her shoulders, he knew there was no way he could resist her, nor did he want to. Was he dying to feel her sweet, soft, innocent mouth sucking him off? Abso-fucking-lutely. But beyond that typical male fantasy, another part of him hoped that their physical connection would be the start to her trusting him with more than just her body, because there was no denying that Levi wasn't ready to let Sarah go anytime soon, and especially not until he knew whatever she was running from no longer had the ability to harm her in any way. But all those thoughts fled his mind as he'd leaned against the tile shower stall with his hands tangled in her wet hair and she'd whispered the words, "Tell me what you want. Show me how you like it best." In graphic, filthy words that had her wetting her lips in anticipation, he told her all the ways he wanted to fuck her delectable mouth, then watched as she took as much of his cock between those silky lips as she could and proceeded to blow his fucking mind, as well as his dick. She did everything he demanded and learned fast as to what he liked the most, even as her own instincts took over.
Her velvet-textured tongue caressed the underside of his shaft, and she gripped the base of his erection tight with her fingers while her lips slid up and down the rigid length of his shaft. And when she reached up and gently massaged his taut balls in her hand, he couldn't stop his eyes from rolling back in pure gratification. As she continued to work him over, all of her uncertainties vanished, and a sultry vixen took her place as she sucked him like she couldn't get enough of his taste. With each pass, she relaxed a little more, enveloped him a little deeper, and they both moaned when the broad head of his cock finally bumped the back of her throat. She instinctively swallowed around him, squeezing the sensitive tip, and holy fuck, he had to grit his teeth against the blinding jolt of need to unleash the lust pulsing through his cock.
"Goddamn, Sarah, I'm going to come," he warned her in a gruff voice.
She answered him by sucking harder instead of pulling away, destroying him and shredding his control. She closed her eyes, relaxed her jaw, and let him set the pace, even when he anchored his hand at the nape of her neck and started thrusting in earnest as he chased after another orgasm that was no less intense than the one he'd just experienced in the bedroom with her. The way she'd accepted everything he had to give and had swallowed every damn drop had been just as scalding hot as when he'd marked her body with his cum. Never had he felt so possessive of a woman as he had with Sarah in that moment, and he'd been shocked by just how much he wanted to claim her and make her his in every way that mattered. Even now, the recollection was powerful enough to make him shudder all over again, and had his unruly dick, which should have been completely drained by those two orgasms, perking up for more.
"Shit,"
he muttered as he whisked half a dozen eggs into a froth. He could only imagine what it was going to do to him when he finally buried himself in her tight, wet heat and felt her cum around his cock. He exhaled a deep breath and rerouted his thoughts before they made him harder than he already was, especially if he intended to have breakfast ready before Sarah joined him. 15 minutes later, he had two fluffy omelets on a plate, filled with sautéed ham and mushrooms, and topped with melted cheese. Just as he finished pouring them each a glass of chilled orange juice, Sarah walked into the kitchen. Her hair was still damp from her shower, and he loved how fresh and natural her face looked without any makeup. She'd put on the same pair of threadbare jeans that she wore to work that were much too loose on her, and an equally old, faded t-shirt. Having helped her pack her belongings last night, he now knew she owned only a few pieces of clothing. When their gazes met, she gave him a sweet, shy smile, and he knew the pink flush that suffused her cheeks was a result of what she'd just done to him in the shower. She might have been eager to suck his cock, but in the real light of day, she looked so prim and proper, and was obviously still coming to terms with how easily she'd relinquished any semblance of modesty with him. While he, on the other hand, intended to coax that naughty behavior out to play every chance he got. As soon as she reached him, he took her beautiful face in his hands and drew her mouth to his. She came willingly, and as soon as their lips touched, hers automatically parted on a welcoming sigh. He swept his tongue inside, tasting a subtle hint of the mint toothpaste she'd used to brush her teeth as he kissed her softly and slowly, seducing her rather than ravishing her. Her hands came up to his chest, and she melted against him. He loved that she was letting down her walls and trusting him, even if it was just physically for now. He'd take whatever he could get, and hopefully the rest of her would come around in time. He eventually ended the kiss, and she stared up at him with dreamy eyes hazed over with desire. "Good morning," she murmured. He skimmed his thumb along her damp bottom lip and gave her a bad boy grin.
"Yeah. It was pretty fucking fabulous."
She caught his sexy reference to the orgasms they'd both enjoyed and ducked her head to hide another rush of color to her face.
"Whatever you made smells delicious."
He handed her a plate and a glass of orange juice before picking up his own.
"Good, because I expect you to eat every single bite."
"Are you trying to fatten me up?"
she asked in a teasing voice as she walked to the dining table and slid into the same chair she'd occupied last night.
"Because between the pasta and the chocolate dessert you fed me at dinner, and now this huge omelet, I'm going to gain 10 pounds.
"I think we should aim for at least 15 or 20,
he said seriously as he started in on his own breakfast. While she wasn't malnourished, there was no doubt in his mind that her previous diet hadn't done her body any favors. She was too thin, and he was fairly certain it wasn't by choice. She picked up her fork, but didn't take a bite. If I'm lucky, it'll go straight to my breasts and not straight to my stomach and thighs, she said wryly.
Your breasts are fucking perfect just the way they are.
Those soft mounds of flesh had fit into his hands as if they'd been made solely for him, and in his opinion, more than a mouthful was a waste.
If I had any say in the matter, I'd distribute the extra curves to your hips so there's something substantial for me to grab onto when I'm fucking you, and your ass so there's a bit of padding to cushion my hard thrusts when I take you from behind.
Her eyes rounded in shock, and he was satisfied to see that she didn't look opposed to either scenario. Good thing, because that was just barely scraping the surface of all the dirty, sexy things he wanted to do to her. When she didn't respond verbally, he pointed his fork at her plate.
Now eat, all of it, he ordered like a drill sergeant, or I'll put you over my knee and spank you like a bad girl.
Her blonde brows rose, but she didn't seem against that kinky idea either. Instead, a faint and sassy smile tugged at her lips. Yes, Officer Kincaid. And there went his goddamn dick again, twitching at the husky sound of Sarah's voice as she used his rank as a cop in a way that made him envision her in his handcuffs and him as the authority figure. Oh, fuck yeah. Tonight, she was going to find out exactly what Officer Kincaid was capable of. After a few minutes of them quietly eating, Levi decided he needed to let Sarah know what he had planned for the day. He glanced across the table as he took a drink of his orange juice, pleased to see she'd finished more than half of her omelet.
There's some personal things I need to do today that will probably take me a few hours, he said,
waiting until she looked up at him before continuing.
I need you to stay in this house and not go anywhere while I'm gone, so I don't worry about you, okay?
She shrugged as she cut another section of her omelet with her fork. It's not like I have anywhere to go, except to work tonight.
Good,
he said with a nod.
You can spend the rest of the morning and afternoon relaxing and watching TV. I have Netflix, so I'm sure you can find a couple of movies you'd like to see.
She had no idea of his plans, but her job was going to change as of today, because he was done letting Sarah put herself in potentially dangerous situations. For the rest of her time in Chicago, he needed to know that she was in a safe environment, including at her job. But until he talked to Clay and had his brother's agreement, he wasn't ready to inform Sarah of that change to both her place of employment and to her work schedule. He was anticipating an argument when he did, and it was one he intended to win.
I'll leave my cell phone number with you. If you need anything at all while I'm gone, you call me, okay?
She took a sip of her juice.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
That wasn't the answer he wanted to hear. He placed his fork on his empty plate, braced his forearms on the table, and made sure she saw his serious-as-hell expression.
But you'll call me if you need anything, right?
He repeated adamantly. She rolled her eyes at him, as if he were being ridiculous.
Yes, Officer Kincaid.
Oh yeah, he was definitely bringing out the handcuffs tonight. The first stop Levi made was to the Sleepy Time Motel. Even in broad daylight, the place looked like a fucking shithole, but at least he was there early enough that there weren't any junkies, prostitutes, or drug dealers hanging around yet. He parked his truck and headed toward the front of the motel and the single glass door with a handwritten note taped to the window that read, "Check in here." As he stepped inside the tiny office that was more the size of a cubicle, with a long, high counter dividing the room into two even smaller sections, a buzzing sound announced his arrival. The office was empty, and when no one appeared to help him, he impatiently pushed the buzzer on the counter until a side door opened and an unkempt, middle-aged man with long, stringy hair and a grungy beard came stumbling out, wearing just a pair of flannel pajama pants.
Jesus, man,
the guy grumbled irritably.
I was on the toilet.
He ambled up to the counter, bringing with him the strong, unpleasant scent of having just smoked weed. The dude looked stoned, but since Levi wasn't here in an official capacity, he didn't give a crap what the guy had been doing before he'd arrived.
What do you want, hourly or daily rate?
The man asked as he searched for something beneath the other side of the counter.
Neither. I'm not here for a room.
When the guy narrowed his gaze suspiciously, Levi explained.
You have a guest staying here by the name of Sarah Robbins, room 116. She's been here a few weeks.
Before Levi could finish what he'd been about to say, the other man cut in with an annoyed look.
What's with this chick all of a sudden? Since she's been at the motel, I've never seen her with a John, and now you're the second guy that's come in here asking for her by name.
Levi didn't bother correcting the other guy's assumption. He was too caught up in what the man had just revealed.
What do you mean I'm the second guy who's asked about her? When did the other person come by, and what was his name?
It was late last night, and I don't know what the hell his name was. I didn't ask, he said testily. I told him her room number, and that's the last I saw of him. It's not my job to keep track of all the Johns that stop in here.
Levi's stomach twisted with sudden unease. Some man had been looking specifically for Sarah, and he knew damn well it wasn't for the reasons this jerk was insinuating. So who was the guy, and what did he want with her?
Last night her room was broken into, and she was robbed.
Coincidence? Levi had no idea, but he didn't like the fact that the two incidents had happened the same exact evening.
Yeah, my maintenance guy texted me this morning that the bathroom window was busted open, and when he went inside, the place was trashed.
The other guy looked Levi up and down.
You here to pay for the damages, then?
Levi almost laughed in the man's face.
No, I'm here to report the break-in and check Ms. Robbins out of this place,
he said, catching himself before a more derogatory description fell out of his mouth.
She won't be staying here any longer.
Especially now that he knew that another man had come looking for her. The clerk leaned insolently against the counter.
Yeah, well, if the damages aren't paid for, then Ms. Robbins can kiss her deposit and the rest of her week's payment for the room goodbye.
Levi smiled, and it wasn't a pleasant one. No, this was an I'm going to kick your fucking ass and enjoy it kind of smirk. If the asshole thought it was okay to threaten him, then Levi had no qualms doing the same. It wasn't Sarah's fault that her room had been ransacked, and there was no way in hell Levi was going to let this prick cheat her out of money that was rightfully hers and that she needed now that her stash had been stolen. Reaching into his pocket, Levi retrieved his wallet and flipped it open to show the pothead his shiny police badge. The guy's eyes widened, and he immediately went pale and took a wobbly step back as an oh shit kind of look appeared on his face.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a cop,
he stated, his tone smug because there was no doubt that Levi now had the upper hand in the situation.
Do you really want me to file a report with CPD for the break-in and robbery to get Ms. Robbins' payment back? Because if I have to take the time to write up a fucking statement, I can guarantee that there will be more than a few other offenses on the report, including you being under the influence.
No, no, of course not,
he backtracked quickly, though he didn't look happy about parting with the money.
I'll just write a check for the reimbursement.
No way was Levi accepting a bank check from this dump and risking the chance that it would most likely bounce.
I want it in cash.
The guy's bloodshot eyes glared at him.
I don't have that much money on hand.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Levi boomed incredulously.
Did you not hear me when I said I'm a cop? I know that 99% of your hourly rate clientele at this hotel pays in cash. Don't dick around with me.
The man's lips pressed into a thin line of annoyance, but he wisely held back the scathing words he undoubtedly wanted to spew at Levi. Instead, he said,
I'll be right back,
then disappeared through the side door again. Levi glanced at the time on his phone, giving the guy 5 minutes to return before he went and got the goddamn money himself. Luckily, the idiot returned in 4 and a half and slammed down a handful of dollar bills on the counter in front of Levi.
See? Now that wasn't so difficult, was it?
Levi asked pleasantly, after he counted the cash to make sure the guy had included the rest of the week's payment and the deposit. It was all there, so his job here was done, though he couldn't stop wondering about the other man who'd inquired about Sarah. He pocketed the money to give to her when he got back home and smiled at the angry-looking clerk.
"Have a nice day,"
Levi said sarcastically and headed back to his truck. One errand down, one to go. Before leaving the parking lot, Levi texted Clay. "Are you around? I need to talk to you." Clay's response came back within seconds. "I'm at the bar doing inventory. Is everything okay?" It wasn't hard to imagine Clay's worried expression. Old habits died hard for his oldest brother, who'd spent most of his life taking care of and looking after Mason and Levi. "Everything is fine. I just need to ask a favor. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Levi drove toward the bar that his brother owned. Kincaid's was located in a more run-down part of the city, and even though Clay had inherited a shitload of money from the previous owner, along with the bar, he refused to move the place to a better area. Clay didn't need or want much, but he enjoyed the bar and patrons, though he spent a lot less time there now that he and Samantha were married. When Levi arrived at Kincaid's, he used the back door to the bar, knowing that it remained open during the early afternoon hours for deliveries. He found Clay in his office, sitting behind his desk and inputting information into his computer. He rapped his knuckles on the doorframe to announce his presence, and his brother glanced up and waved him into the room.
"Hey,"
Clay greeted as Levi settled into one of the chairs in front of his brother's desk.
"How are the fractured ribs?"
"Still sore and bruised,"
Levi said with a shrug, indulging his brother with the initial small talk.
"But nothing I can't deal with."
A wry grin eased across Clay's lips.
"You and I both know that if that had happened to Mason, he would have been whining to both of us every single fucking day about every little ache and pain."
Levi laughed in agreement, because despite acting tough, their middle brother was far more melodramatic than the two of them had ever been.
"That's why I'm the cop and not him."
"Fucking pussy."
"Speaking of which, when do you go back to work?"
"Another 2 or 3 weeks, after my doctor clears me for duty again."
Clay raised an inquisitive brow.
"Are you bored out of your mind yet?"
Levi had been heading in the direction of boredom until everything with Sarah had given him something to focus on.
"Actually, the last few days have been interesting. And I'm not talking about that ambush of nosy women arriving on my doorstep on Saturday,"
he said pointedly, because Clay's wife had been a part of that posse of inquisitive females. Clay chuckled and held up his hands, absolving himself of that decision.
"I had nothing to do with it. Mason is on a fact-finding mission about your mystery woman. He's dying to know what's going on between the two of you."
Levi smirked as he stretched his legs out in front of him.
"I'm sure he was disappointed when Katrina came home without any top-secret information about Sarah."
His older brother inclined his head to confirm Levi's suspicions, but Clay didn't press for more details, even if his gaze was brimming with curiosity about the woman he'd met at the hospital. Instead, he changed the subject, which really didn't change the direction of the conversation at all, since it was all about Sarah.
"So, you're not one to ask for favors,"
Clay finally said as he leaned back in his leather chair and regarded Levi speculatively.
"What's up?"
Levi got right to the point.
"I need you to hire Sarah as a cocktail waitress at Kincaid's."
Clay's mouth opened, then shut again, clearly taken aback by the unexpected request, and clearly shocked that Levi's favor was all about the woman they'd just been discussing. Finally, after a few quiet moments had passed, his brother spoke.
"Why do you need me to hire her?"
Clay asked. His brother didn't hesitate to point out the strong and direct language Levi had used when most people would have asked the question in a more casual manner, like, "Would you be able to hire Sarah?" The word need implied an emotional connection to Sarah, as well as a personal stake in what happened to her. And he couldn't deny that he felt both of those sentiments. Clay was waiting for an answer, and Levi knew he owed him an explanation, which would also help his brother to better understand the situation.
"For starters, Sarah works at the Circle K where I was shot." "She was the one who was getting robbed the night you were there, right?"
he asked, remembering what Sarah had told him at the hospital.
"Yes."
The asshole had a fucking gun pointed to her head,
Levi said, uncaring of how protective he sounded.
The Mart is also in a shitty part of Inglewood, and I'd feel much better if she worked somewhere safe. Where you can keep an eye on her?
Clay asked with a raised brow.
Where she's surrounded by people I trust,
he clarified.
Also, she's been living in a motel for well over a month, and it's the kind that rents by the hour because that's all she can afford.
Clay winced, his expression immediately sympathetic, because they both knew all about the sacrifices a person had to make when they were scraping every penny to get by.
Jesus. And last night, her room was ransacked and robbed.
Levi went on, so Clay would understand how dire Sarah's situation really was.
Whoever went through the place tore it apart and stole all the money she had, and she didn't have much to begin with. And she's still staying there?
Clay asked incredulously.
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course not.
Levi looked Clay in the eye from across the desk, realizing how much he was about to reveal about his personal life, which was something he didn't share openly, not even with his brothers. It was all part of that control issue of his, and learning at an early age to hold everything inside.
Sarah is staying at my place.
Surprise flickered in Clay's eyes, and a lazy smile kicked up one corner of his mouth.
Damn, and here I thought I was the only one in the family with the white knight syndrome.
Levi's brother was known for helping those who were down on their luck in some way, like the damsel in distress he'd rescued, who'd landed in his bar months ago in an attempt to escape marriage to a man she didn't love. Now that same woman was Clay's wife.
Don't worry. Your nickname, Saint Clay, is still intact,
Levi assured him with a teasing grin.
Unlike you, I don't make it a habit of rescuing women.
Clay tipped his head curiously.
The fact that you don't make it a habit, yet this woman seems to be the exception, is what intrigues me.
Levi had grown up being the one who always analyzed people and situations, and he realized that he didn't like being on the receiving end of his brother's scrutiny.
I'm just trying to help Sarah through a hard time, not marry her,
he said sarcastically. Clay's eyes glimmered with amusement.
Yeah, well, take it from someone who knows firsthand. Helping the right woman isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Things had worked out well for Clay, but for as much as Levi was coming to care about Sarah, she'd made it clear that she wasn't staying in Chicago much longer. And while a huge part of him didn't want her to leave, Levi also knew that he had no right to ask her to stay when he'd never been able to sustain a long-term relationship with any woman before. The last thing he wanted to do was lead Sarah on, only to break her heart somewhere down the line. None of which meant his stomach wasn't in knots at the thought of her taking off and him never hearing from her again. He'd just have to cross that bridge when he came to it. Levi also had no desire to elaborate with Clay, so he brought the discussion back to his original purpose for being there at the bar.
You never answered my question. Will you hire her?
Clay rubbed a hand across his chin as he considered the request once again.
Does she have any experience working in a bar or waitressing? Did Samantha?
He shot right back, reminding his brother that his wife had never worked any job before walking into Kincaid's that fateful night. Levi had no idea if Sarah had ever worked in a bar or a restaurant, but he wasn't about to let Clay use any lack of experience on her part as an excuse not to hire her. Clay chuckled.
Point taken.
Leaning forward in his chair, Levi braced his forearms on his thighs.
Just give her a chance to prove herself. That's all I'm asking. You care about her,
Clay murmured. The words were a statement of fact and not a question. Yeah, Levi cared, probably more than was wise, but he wasn't about to confirm or deny his brother's comment.
Sarah's had a rough life. She's struggling right now, and I just want to make this one thing easy for her.
Clay nodded in understanding, because if there was one thing his brother was very familiar with, it was the hardship and struggle to survive and get by.
Then consider her hired.
Chapter 9. While Levi was gone, Sarah finished cleaning up the kitchen from breakfast and watched a few shows on TV. keeping an eye on the time since she was scheduled to work tonight and needed to leave in a few hours. If Levi didn't return soon, she was going to have to figure out where the nearest bus stop was so she wasn't late for her shift. He might have insisted that she call him if she needed anything, but she had no idea what errands he was out doing or how important they were, and she didn't want to be an inconvenience. She'd spent years making it on her own and figuring out ways to improvise in less than ideal situations. Lately, her life had become such an upheaval of events, one right after the other, and she was just trying to push through the chaos like she always did. That was one thing she was good at, putting one foot in front of the other despite whatever circumstances or obstacles were set in front of her. And ever since losing her parents, she'd encountered a lot of stumbling blocks and endured a wealth of heartache, too. Sarah curled her legs beneath her on Levi's soft couch and released a weary sigh. Not because she was physically exhausted, but emotionally she felt utterly wrung out. She was so tired of struggling every single day, of making wrong choices that led to even more misery. The horrible situation with Dylan being her latest bad decision, all because she'd let down her guard and believed the promises he'd made, or rather, the lies he'd told her. And here she was again, falling back into that same familiar pattern with Levi. Yet even as that thought entered her mind, she had no doubt that he was a man of his word. In the past week alone, he'd proven himself in a multitude of ways, protecting her and keeping her safe when she once again had nowhere else to go and no one else to turn to. He'd asked nothing in return, and no red flags waved in her face. And, if she had to admit the truth, there were always red flags. No, there was no comparing Levi to any of the guys in her past who'd taken advantage of her. She trusted Levi implicitly, and it scared her just how hard and fast she was falling for him, even as she tried to keep her emotions.